is defined as the divine influence which operates in humans to regenerate and sanctify, to inspire virtuous impulses, and to impart strength to endure trial and resist temptation. Grace is God's favor shown to humankind, undeserved, unmerited, and reflected in the following. A widow goes to an unjust judge, seeking of all things justice. A crook goes to sleep and wrestles with an angel. A ruler goes to his neighbor's wife and commits adultery. A tax collector goes to see the sight and climbs a tree for a better view. A son goes away, squandering his inheritance. A woman goes to a well to draw water, only to meet a stranger. And a disciple goes to a courtyard and denies the truth. Though these stories of grace come from different times and faraway places, they all have much in common, for they speak of the complexity of the human condition and the unearned gift of grace that covers all of us, no matter what. From the squeaky wheel persistence of the widow in today's gospel, looking for justice at the hands of an unjust man, it seems she bothers this judge, going to see him over and over, beseeching him to grant me justice against my opponent, which is kind of funny, actually, given that the Hebrew word for widow means the silent one. And just to silence this squeaky wheel, the unjust judge grants her petition for justice. If an unjust judge can be seen to grant justice, can you imagine the power grace might have in your life? Or how about the crook named Jacob in our Old Testament story this morning? Remember, Jacob and Esau were the twin sons of Isaac and Rebekah. And Jacob was a crook, for he stole his brother's birthright by bargaining for a bowl of stew, and then pretended to be Esau while dressed in a sheepskin. Years later, Jacob wrestles with an angel of the Lord all night long, and in short order, the angel strikes Jacob on the hip, and he will limp from that day forward. Because Jacob prevailed in his fight against God and the angel, not giving up until he received a blessing, Jacob will also be known as the father of Israel. If Jacob can receive a blessing, can you imagine the power grace might have in your life? Then there's the ruler David. Accustomed to getting whatever he wants, he sees another man's wife at her bath and summons her to his bedchamber. Wanting and taking what was not his, David will conspire against her husband, eventually having him killed in battle. Seeking redemption, but at a painful and too personal cost, David will admit his sin before God and be given a chance for greatness through his atonement. If this adulterous and murderous king can atone, can you imagine the power grace might have in your life? Or what about Zacchaeus, a chief and rich tax collector from Jericho? Remember, tax collectors in the Roman Empire collected unpaid taxes and were known for their greed, taking more money that was owed just to line their own pockets. And this Zacchaeus was condemned by his community for his greediness. And yet Jesus will call him down from his perch in a sycamore tree, saying, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." And what does our greedy, self-serving Zacchaeus say in response? Happily, he agrees to host the Lord. And then he does something else. He offers half of his possessions for the poor. And if he's defrauded anyone of anything, he offers to pay them back four times as much. if this greedy tax collector can become generous, can you imagine the power grace can have in your life? Then there's a favored son who demands his inheritance, receives it, and travels far. He lives a life of debauchery and squanders it all. Starving and with nothing left, he is forced to live on the scraps he feeds to his boss's pigs. Waking up in the filth and slop, he remembers how generous his father was to their hired hands. And seeking forgiveness, he decides to go home. And while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around this lost son and kissed him. This son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. If this selfish son can be seen through a father's loving eyes, can you imagine the power grace might have in your life? Or the Samaritan woman who goes to Jacob's well in the country of Samaria to draw water. There she meets a Jewish stranger who knows she has lived with five husbands and one who was not her husband. Even so, this Jewish stranger asks her, a lone Samaritan woman, unheard of in those days, to give him a drink of water. Jesus says to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Realizing he knows her sins and still offers her the living water, she sees in him the long-awaited Messiah, the Christ. Amazed, she leaves her jar at the well in her haste and speaks of Jesus to all those whom she meets. Her witness will bring many Samaritans to believe in Jesus, and he will stay there with them for 2 days. If this wayward woman can be saved through the living waters, can you imagine the power grace might have in your life? Finally, there is Simon Peter, who wanders to the town courtyard following the crucifixion of Jesus. Once courageous, calling Jesus the Messiah, he now seeks anonymity just to avoid persecution and death. He denies that he was a follower of Jesus, not once, but 3 times, all before the cock crowed. And from this weak and frightened man, Jesus will call him Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. If this frightened denier of Jesus can become the rock of the church, can you imagine the power grace might have in your life? James Ryle suggests, grace is the empowering presence of God, enabling you to be who God has created you to be, and to do what God has called you to do. So in closing, I'd like to ask you some questions this morning, and I invite you to respond with the following, I will with God's grace. Will you seek to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly? I will with God's grace. Will you seek God's blessing in all you do and say? I will with God's grace. Will you seek to make right the wrongs you have done? I will with God's grace. Will you seek to make known the love of Christ for all people? I will with God's grace. And in the words of Christine Miller, God help us to respond with gratitude, prayerfully listen for God's voice, and faithfully go where God will lead. And may all God's people say, amen.